Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. Last time on Hope for Today, we began a study from Luke chapter 11 and verses 14 to 28. But we weren't able to finish that study, so we're returning to it again today. Our study is titled, You Can't Have It Both Ways, and it's taken from Luke chapter 11, verses 14 to 28. So as we resume our study, I will read that text.
And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was, when the demon had gone out, that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts which nursed you. But he said, More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. In verses 21 and 22 of our text, Jesus' answer progresses from reason to revelation. He illustrates the power of Satan as the strong man, who is fully armed and protecting his possessions or his place of jurisdiction. Jesus is building a comprehensive answer. Up to this point, he has shown them their faulty logic by sound reasoning. Satan doesn't work against himself. He has shown them by revelation and by miracle that he is more powerful than Satan. Therefore, he must be divine. So now he puts the weight of belief or unbelief squarely on their shoulders. He says in verse 23, He who is not with me is against me, and he who gathers not with me scatters. Here Jesus uses the imagery of the field and the flock. Those who did not gather people as sheaves of grain or sheep into the fold of the kingdom with Jesus were guilty of scattering them abroad. There was and is no neutral ground. People either support Jesus or oppose him. This is the answer of responsibility, personal responsibility. And with this statement, Jesus made it crystal clear, you can't have it both ways. You must choose which side you're on. This part of Jesus' answer is so important for us today. There are only two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Yet many people, even many professing followers of Christ, teach and practice the fallacy that there are several ways to God. But Jesus said, You're either with me or against me. You can't be partially for Jesus and partially against him. Jesus follows up this clear statement with a warning to his listeners and to us. In making this statement, Jesus implies that the Jewish leaders had, in the past, exorcised demons from people. But getting the demon out of the person is only half the issue, because nature abhors a vacuum. That vacancy left by the demon's exit must be filled with something. So Jesus said if the person who had been delivered from demon possession did not fill that void with the life-giving power of belief in Jesus, he or she was left defenseless against the return of that demon. Jesus said the demon would wander in dry places, waterless places, seeking a dwelling place. It was the understanding of the Jewish people that demons inhabited the desolate desert areas. And Scripture supports that view in places like Revelation chapter 18 and verse 2 and Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 21. Then Jesus said, if that demon doesn't find a home in those dry places, he will decide to return to his original dwelling. Now, think back to Jesus' comments earlier about the strong man guarding his goods. If Jesus is not invited to become the strong man and to defend his goods, then the void left by the demon's departure will be filled by something or someone else. Jesus warned that the empty place would be filled by the demon that had been cast out, accompanied by seven other demons more wicked than he. After all, Jesus, speaking of Satan, said, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy." That is the modus operandi of demonic spirits as they do the bidding of their evil master. These would take up residence in the person, and Jesus said his final condition is far worse than the original possession. Now, oftentimes, those most hardened to the message of the gospel are those who at one time embraced the truth, but then failed to continue on with the Lord. Hebrews chapter 6 speaks of them with these words, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible, in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying," that's present tense, "crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned." As Jesus was concluding his teaching, a woman from the crowd spoke up. "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts at which you nursed." This woman was fulfilling Mary's prophecy recorded for us in Luke chapter 1 and verse 48, where she said, "Behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed." This woman was evidently impressed with Jesus and chose her words as a compliment to him. But notice Jesus' response. He agreed with her statement, but he added more. He said, "Yes, but." "Your statement is true, but I say to you that blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Jesus acknowledged that his mother, Mary, held a special place in God's plan, but he also pointed out that the humblest, real saint of God has an even greater position than Mary and is deserving of just as much honor. These words are a vivid reminder to us that pious statements are no substitution for obedience. Earlier in his ministry, Jesus had asked his hearers, "Why do you call me Lord and refuse to do the things I say?" Here in this text, he was once again equating obedience with identification. To call Jesus Lord and yet refuse to obey him opens our lives to the realm and power of Satan. Now, what does all this mean for us today? Do we still have to deal with demon possession and its effects? Well, some would even scoff at that suggestion. They would wonder how anyone living in our enlightened times could still believe in something so ignorant, so out of touch with modern sensibilities. But they would be wrong to ignore the very real power of demonic spirits. Refusing to believe in what is real doesn't make something non-existent. There are many people who can testify that their anger and bitterness led them to bizarre behavior. Some of them were even confined in psychiatric wards or mental institutions because they heard voices that were urging them to engage in all kinds of destructive behavior. But when they confessed their anger and their bitterness as sin and accepted the grace of God and the cleansing power of His blood, the voices they had been hearing suddenly stopped. The urges to destroy and injure vanished. The tormentors that had robbed them of a fulfilling life were gone. Praise God! Who is the strong man in your life? Is the finger of God present? Are you experiencing the daily power of Christ to live and walk in victory? No, I'm not talking about perfection, but about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Or do you live in constant defeat, unable to overcome the lusts of the flesh? Do you ask God's forgiveness, yet find yourself bound by destructive habits and behaviors? Are you bound by the inner demons of anger and bitterness and an unforgiving spirit? Jesus died on the cross to disarm these demonic powers in your life, if you will only let Him. He wants to be the strong man in your life, and He will be if you surrender to Him in complete obedience. The choice is yours. What will it be? Whatever your choice is, remember this important truth. You can't have it both ways. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll plan to be here next week to resume our study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, You Can't Have It Both Ways. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching. You can't have it both ways. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember to ask for your copy of the teaching, You Can't Have It Both Ways, either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto that site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study in Luke's Gospel. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.